Hold on. Hold on. Let me. All right. What did you do, man?
Can I pet that dog?
Oh shit, my bad, man. I didn't know we was going in like this, bro. What's up, man? Welcome to the Who My Pod.
Welcome, man.
Hey, so today we got a little bit of a different pod than we usually do, right? So we'll start with music. We'll end with the positivity shout out as we usually do. But our topics today, I think are extremely important, and it's something that you might want to listen to. So we seen that the presidential debate just happened. And instead of actually talking about that, we want to kind of give you guys some tips and some tricks, if you will, about voting and why it's important and what you should be looking for when you're voting. Things that certain topics don't really get talked about that much, right? Even during the presidential debate, you didn't see a lot of policies talk. You didn't see a lot of what am I going to do for this community? What am I going to do for that community? But that information is out there. So it's something to look at. It's something to think about. And then King is going to be the one. King is going to be the one to tell you. He's going to be the one to hook you up on this. But I just want to start with that. That's kind of what our podcast is going to be about today. So King, what you got from you as far as music, though, if you want to start out?
So we got a lot of music that came out this week, like a lot of music that came out. But I'll start off with some singles first. The first single that I want to talk about is actually a remix. So a couple weeks ago, I talked about Internet Money, Don Toliver, Nav, and Gunna with their song Lemonade. So they actually came out with a remix with Don Toliver and Roddy Ricch. Now, I said I like that the original song a lot. It was just heavy on the drug use, like talking about the substance abuse. And it was just like kind of like how you were saying before. Sometimes you just want to throw on some music. You don't really care what they're saying. You just want to hear a good beat. You want to hear a good hook. And again, that's what this is. I think the remix does a better job as not relying on how much drug use it is. It's just like a good song. And then Roddy Ricch going to go crazy on everything that he touched. And I think that I'm a real fan of Don Toliver. Like ever since he came out earlier this year, like I've been really tuned into whatever all the music he's been dropping. He's obviously a part of that Travis Scott tree. So I think that he definitely killed this. It's a new verse from him. It's a new verse from Roddy Ricch. And overall, I just think it's a good song. So that's Lemonade, Internet Money, Don Toliver, and Roddy Ricch. And then my second single I got is Meg Thee Stallion featuring Young Thug with Don't Stop. First and foremost, this beat is crazy. Like, this beat is crazy. Like, it's probably one of the best beats I heard in a long time. And I think the video is dope. And it really just showed the creativity of Meg Thee Stallion. Like, I always had this view of her, like she was kind of like a notch below Cardi B, a notch below Nicki Minaj. But I think with the success of WAP, this song just showed me her true potential. Like, I really do think that she can definitely jump over Cardi and she can definitely jump over Nicki. And I think it's because when she raps on a song, like, I feel it. Like, I believe it. It's just a level of authenticity. Like, whenever she's talking that talk, like, I feel like she really did that. She really mean it. And it's an intangible that you really can't measure. Like, I don't know how else to explain it. It's just like believable. Like, certain people rap and they're good with words, and certain people say something and you know they mean it. Like when Jay-Z talk about business and when he's talking about like his chess moves in the industry, like it just hit a little different than somebody saying like, I'm trying to get a billion. Like, no, Jay-Z, when he give you game, he really going to apply it. And I kind of feel like that with Meg Thee Stallion. Obviously, it's different content. You know what I mean? She could be talking about finesse and she could be talking about getting money and doing all that. But it's just a certain level of authenticity to where I feel like she has the potential to be, for her lane of women hip hop, I think she couldn't be the number one in that spot if she keeps making songs like these. So Meg Thee Stallion featuring Young Thug, Don't Stop. It's a good song.
No, I really appreciate that song. I didn't even want to bring that up because I didn't have much to say about it outside of it being really good, right? Like, it's good. It's a good song. It's coming to the point where I'm expecting that from Meg Thee Stallion. That's what you want as an artist. That's what you want. You want for people like us to actually say, like, hey, I'm expecting you to come out with a good product. If you don't, I'll be disappointed at a high level. If it's not great, if it's not something really good, I'm going to be disappointed. And Meg Thee Stallion's getting to that point where every time she's coming out, I'm like, damn, another good single. Damn, another good single. So I want her to actually be able to put that all together into an album. That's my biggest criticism of her. Like, hey, put all that together and then make that go hard in the album. Because if you put her with Cardi B or you put her with Nicki Minaj, they both have, not Cardi B, not as much, but at least Nicki Minaj for sure, they both have several albums that you can look to and say, these were great albums. These sold this many records. These broke this, these records. Like, it's a big deal when you get into the women's genre of the numbers that you do and the competition and things of that nature. And that's not pinning two women against each other. That's just the name of the game, right? If you're in the NBA, you LeBron, well, you're going to get pinned up against Michael Jordan. It's always those type of competitive things, and the same thing with the rap game. So if you look at that, we're always going to be comparing women's rap and men's rap and sports and things of that nature. We're always going to be doing that. So it's never going to go away. You're always going to be compared. So just make sure you deliver every time, and then that's how you can get into the good spots.
Facts. Excuse me. Facts. You want to talk about some albums?
Yeah, let's do it. My first one is pretty short as far as the album goes, but it's When It's All Said and Done by Giveon. R&B has been just dominating this year. It's been so much good music. I like Giveon because what he does is he delivers such short products that it's okay when he comes back later on that year and delivers another one. So this one doesn't overshadow the last one to me because it's so short. Sometimes people drop two projects in the same year, and it seems like you probably should have let your other one simmer a little bit, give it some time. But Giveon, with this being the last one being, I think, 6, and this one being only 4, and this one is only 11 minutes, right? So it's a literal EP. I think a lot of time we talk about EP, but this is a literal EP. It's so short that you can really consider it that. But it's amazing. It's just right where it needs to be. He only had one actual feature on there, which is Snow Allegra, and they just sound good together, man. They just sound good together, bro. I don't know. Giveon is so unique in his sound. It sounds almost like he has some type of like extreme vocals going on when somebody's actually cutting it up. But I feel like that's how he sounds though. Like even when you can tell, like that's legitimately his voice when he's singing. That's his voice when he's even just talking. That's his voice. Like, he just sounds really unique. And it was the same thing we gave Young Thug, which is crazy because we just talked about him. It's just his sound was so unique because it was his voice. And everybody thought it was just some type of like trick or anything like that. That's his voice. That's how he sounds. And it sounds amazing. It sounds unique. And it's something that I like to continue to listen to. And he hasn't let me down. Like, I know I haven't been listening to him for long. It's really only been through this year. But it's all good music. It's all something I want to listen to. And this actually, ironic enough, I remember my last time I did my top 5, I put Division in here above Giveon. I'm going to put that last Giveon album now over that Division album right now because I really like that music a lot more. I really like the 6, 7, 8 songs he gave me on that one more than I like the 6, 7. If I pick any 6, 7, or 8 out of the Division album, I'm still rocking with Giveon right now. So that's still a top 5 project to me. This one is just a little bit of an ice cream on a cake type thing. So I appreciate it.
Ice cream and cake. Boy, you hungry, ain't you?
It's my birthday, ain't it?
It's my birthday. It's the dessert for me.
I'm gold, bro. No, I'm gold.
It's a dope project. I really do appreciate giving up, bro. Drake don't miss with the cosigns, bro. A Drake cosign makes stars, bro.
We're going to talk about a Drake feature that somebody fucked up here a little bit later, though. Oh. you're not supposed to miss with those.
Yeah.
You're not supposed to miss with those. That's the 3-point shot that nobody's guarding you on.
Yeah.
You just got to make that. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're supposed to make that.
Yeah, he put it by the rim. Like, all you
gotta do like, is that's alley-oop. Yeah, like, you know, it's an alley-oop that you just, nobody's guarding you on. You got to make that, bro.
Yeah, that's so real.
We're going to talk about that. But Drake don't miss. Drake can spot talent. That's same bad as Lil Wayne did. Say Lil Wayne could really spot talent, and so can Drake.
Facts. So speaking of somebody who had a Drake feature, my first album that I want to talk about is 21 Savage and Metro Boomin. They came out with a project called Savage Mode 2. I'll admit, I honestly slept on 21 Savage. Like, when he first came out, I really didn't understand it. Like, I just remember him in the cypher. It was 30, 60, 30, man. 30, man. It's like, come on, man. Who we doing?
That's a closed case.
Like, that was my impression of 21 Savage. And I think after his debut album, when he made, like, the success of Bank Accounts, it's like, oh, he can really make a good song. Then or when he had the first Savage Mode with Metro Boomin, where he had the song with Future and all of those different songs. It's like, oh, he really got some talent. He could really be something. Then when it came to the whole him getting deported, and you see the community get behind him, and you know the community want to like, yo, we gotta protect 21, we gotta make sure we look out for him. That just showed you the type of reputation he had amongst the industry. And then his last project, I Am Greater Than I Was, I just gained a new respect for his ability to make a good project. Like that last album was a solid project. So I think that with this project for with 21 Savage and Metro Boomin, the beats are crazy. Like Metro Boomin is one of the best. Like he's been doing it for a long time. I think he is stamped in his game. Like you get a beat by Metro Boomin, like it's going to go. And I don't think Metro Boomin misses on here. I do think 21 Savage sometimes underperforms on some of these songs on here, but I don't think that it's a bad project. If you go in there expecting 21 Savage on the level of like a Drake or those top tier artists, you're not going to get that. But if you just expect 21 Savage to be, to give you what, if you just go in there with minimal expectations, it's going to be a good project because the production is so great. I do think that the Drake feature on there, Mr. Right Now, that's obviously the best song on there. I think that he didn't fumble that feature. I think it's a good song, especially when they harmonize on it. Like, I don't like certain rappers singing. Like, I really wasn't a fan of 21 Savage singing, but when he harmonized it with the Drake with the hook, it was like, okay, that was kind of, I could see this sticking around for a little bit. I like that song. It's pretty catchy. The fact that he had Morgan Freeman narrating throughout the whole project is, it's like mind-blowing. Like, who would have thought that Morgan Freeman would have came in to narrate a album, let alone be a 21 Savage album? And you got Morgan Freeman breaking down the difference between a snitch and a rat. It's like, all right, I respect that on a, just on a culture level. Like, that was dope. But overall, a good project. It's not, it's definitely not in my top five of the year, but probably not even my top 10, but it's a good project. If you want something to listen to, a couple songs on there to throw on your playlist, I definitely think it checks that box.
Yeah, I'm going to give it some time. I only got through about four or five songs on this album, and I heard the Drake because of the scissor line, and it made me want to go listen to it. He a cold-blooded motherfucker, though. He a cold-blooded motherfucker, bro.
That boy, he playing fire now, dog.
I need the album, Drake. Like, bro, like we need the album, bro. It's going to be weird to see Drake come out in the winter, but we need the album, bro. Like, after all this, there's two projects that really came out this week, and they both had Drake features on there, and I thought he performed in both of them, but one of them the other person didn't, but we'll talk about that. So what I think about this one is I just really started liking 21 Savage probably in 2019, and what made me really like him is, and you probably remember this, when we was out at in Miami at the what's it called,
Rolling Loud,
when he's out the Rolling Loud. And he was closing, and I was like, man, 21, how's 21? He wasn't closing, but he was like, right. He was the one right before. So he was pretty much closing. And I was like, man, why is 21 Savage so high up in the roster? Like, I just don't understand. 21 Savage came out there and dominated that show. It was a great performance by 21 Savage. And I take that really to heart when somebody's out there and they be able to perform even songs that I don't know, even the ones that I don't know was going hard. Like, that's when I was like, okay, 21 Savage kind of tough. Like, he kind of tough, bro. Like, I could rock with 21 Savage right now. And then going forward, just I've been listening to him a little bit more, and I'm like, he's able to kind of put some shit together. Like, the joint with him and J. Cole, where I'm thinking, like, a lot, you know, I'm thinking, like, there's no way that these two people are supposed to flow together. And I'm like, 21 Savage knows exactly what to do. He just got to stay on beat. He got to ride that. You know the beat going to be hard. He just got to stay on that motherfucking keep going, bro. Like, I'm like, 21 Savage got the recipe. He can just keep going with this. So shout out to 21 Savage. I can't wait to listen to the rest of it, but I've only listened to a certain amount of it so far. So I'm a hold all judgment until I get to the end of it.
Talk about your man that fumbled the bag.
Let's get to it, man. Let's get to it, bro. This is like Bryson Tiller right now. This is like, there's a lot of great NBA players right now, right? Like, there's a ton of great NBA players. When everybody is playing at such a high level, especially in the bubble, like you see in the bubble, everybody was overperforming, like every team, the Nuggets, the Heat were overperforming, the Phoenix Suns, they overperformed. So you've seen all these great players and great thing. When you come out there and you give something that's just kind of regular. It's good, but it's not like great. That's kind of how I judge Bryson Tiller right now, because right now in R&B, there's at least 8 or 9 albums that came out this year, our projects or whatever you want to call them, that came out this year that I'm ranking above this because they're so good. They're just way better right now. So when you come out, even though you got the big name, you got a bigger name than a lot of other artists that I rank above you right now, as far as who dropped this year, it makes me kind of take yours as a grain of salt. Like, it was cool, but with everything else right now, I expected more, right? With everything else going on right now, you coming out with this don't really do it for me. So that's what I'll take with Bryson. This is Bryson Tiller in the verses that we're talking about. So for those that don't know at this point, it was good. It was straight. But there were no songs on there that really blew me away. There was nothing. I kept waiting for it. I said, okay, there's only a couple features on here. Actually, there's only one feature on here. There's Drake. That one got to be the one, right? It's at the end. So I kept listening. I'm like, okay, all these songs are cool. They cool. Nothing really jumping out at me right now. It's only 10 songs, 31 minutes. So you know it's right up my alley, right? So you know I listened to it a couple of times because I had to, because it was only 31 minutes. I had the time to do that. I got to Drake one. I'm like, okay, Drake is kind of eating his hoe. He started out the song. He started out with a little bit more of a rap. He started out, then he ended with some more of the singing in his verses and things of nature. And Bryson Tiller just didn't really finish it. Like, he just didn't come through with the finish on that. He just really didn't. And then the last two songs were forgettable. Like, it just, when you, it's crazy because we always say, hey, drop less songs. That way you have less margin for error. But those 10 songs got to still be the best ones. Like, I'm not giving you points for dropping an album that I like the size of it if the songs of it weren't that great. There's a lot of R&B right now out this year that I'm ranking above this, and that's sad for me for Bryson Tiller, because I want to like it. I really do. I want to appreciate it, but it just didn't get there for me. You know what I mean? It just didn't get – it was just kind of – and he's not going to blow you away with the vocals, right? We know that. Like, he's not going to blow you away with the – in terms of singing levels, he's probably right there with Drake, if we're going to be honest. Like, a step below Tory, but right there with Drake. Like, that's kind of where he's at with how he can sing. He's not with the Giveons. He's not with the Chris Browns. He's not with the Trey Songz. He's not that type of R&B artist. He's not going to sing you out of the gym or anything like that. So it has to be something that's extremely catchy, maybe mixed with a lot of the rap, kind of like Trap Soul was. And we didn't get that on this album. We didn't get a lot of that. So it ended up kind of falling short. It's about a 6 to me, like, out of 10. Like, I'm sorry, but it's kind of it. Like, you know what I mean? It's just kind of it. Especially after the long wait, it's just a little bit of.
Yeah. But Bryson Tiller, it's kind of unfair, because when you come in the game with a classic, it's like, you'll have to live up to that standard each time.
Rather than
if you come in like with some mid and you build and build and build. He came in the game with a classic. Like, it changed, like, his album Trap Soul, it literally changed the landscape of R&B. It kind of just meshed the two genres of hip hop and R&B, and it kind of, you see a lot more rappers singing, you see a lot more singers rapping, and it's, I think that had a lot to do with it. But the thing about Bryson Tiller and why we are so harsh on him is because he introduced a style, and now he's not even the best at doing it anymore. It's so many other artists that are better at the whole Trap Soul genre than him. And when he can't even do that, or he doesn't give us a project with that type of style on it, it just makes it forgettable. You know, I don't think he's bad. Like, he's not a bad artist. There are good songs. But like you said, in a year where there is phenomenal R&B, good, it just doesn't cut it. And I think his last project, I think it was called Note to Self in 2017, that was just like, very forgettable. Like, I can't remember the last time I tuned into any of those songs. I don't see myself revisiting this project. And as an artist, you kind of have to like think about that in the grand scheme of things. Like, Tory Lanez is getting canceled and literally the whole industry is hating on him, but he came through and delivered a great project. Man. So, like, great music will always keep your fan base. Great music will always keep you in that conversation. But the more and more that you prove that you're just an average artist and that you can't deliver at that same level, the less and less your fan base is going to grow. And I just wish that Bryson Tiller would just give me some more, bro. Because I'm tuned in. I want the R&B. Like, I want it, especially from these established artists. But with Bryson Tiller, I'm just losing less and less confidence that he'll, or I'm losing confidence that he'll deliver another trap. So
you can't fumble a Drake feature.
Yeah.
You just shouldn't be able to. It shouldn't be possible for you to do that.
Especially like, a collaboration that we've wanted for years.
It's just like, not good.
We've wanted this collaboration for years. We thought that, or the majority of people thought that Bryson Tiller was OVO just based on his sound. Like, we right. wanted a Bryson Tiller Drake collaboration for years. And the fact that this one is just, it's forgettable. You know what I mean? And it's unfair. It's unfair for him, but it just is what it is.
Yeah, I just talked about with Megan Stallion. When you get to a point in your career, and it's a good place to be, is where we are expecting great products from you. Like, that's how it is. Like, we're expecting a great product. And in a year with all of these great, phenomenal albums, you deliver this, it's not good enough, man. It's just not good enough.
So. Well,
who am I?
Who am I?
Who am I?
So you mentioned a little bit earlier about when you're talking about Giveon, somebody that once you when somebody drops a great project, you don't want them to come back too soon because it'll outshine that previous project will outshine it. So this next album, we'll talk about West Side Gunn, Who Made the Sunshine. It's actually his third project this year, which is crazy. So everybody know I talk about Griselda. I love Griselda. I love that movement. I love the consistency of Griselda. Like, they're not they are the epitome of stay in your lane. Like, I talked about it with Conway the Machine. You know exactly what you want to get out of a Conway album. With West Side Gunn, you know exactly what you're going to get out of a West Side project. And I just feel like as an artist, he's continuing to grow and he's continuing to get the respect from people around the industry to the point where now he's moving from just working with his circle. Now he's working with legends. Like, he got he got the usual members. He got Griselda. He got Benny the Butcher. He got Armani Caesar. He got Conway the Machine, obviously. But now he has people like Black Thought on a project. Now he has Busta Rhymes on a project. Now he has Jadakiss. Well, he previously collaborated with Jadakiss, but now he has Slick Rick on a project. So it's just more of Griselda used to be like this underground, like hidden secret type of thing, to where now it's moving into that forefront. It's like, oh, the real rappers, the real people that we respect that have bars are really respecting Griselda and want to put their stamp on it. And to see him with artists like Jadakiss, with Black Thought, who really rap. And then West Side Gunn isn't the best rapper. He even tell you. He don't even like rapping. But to see him hold his own with those type of people to still give you that Griselda feeling, it's just unmatched. Like, I can't explain it enough how much I respect the consistency, because it's the third project this year and it's still better than a lot of albums that I heard this year. Like, I don't think it's his best. I think Pray for Paris was the peak of his releases this year, but this is still quality. Like, if I was to give it a number out of 10, it's definitely like 7, 8. Like, it's good quality music. So shout out to West Side Gunn, Who Made the Sunshine. Dope project right there.
Much love. But you got one more, right?
I got two more, actually. So I'll go more quick with these, because these are lesser known artists, but I think they were good projects. If you like this Griselda type of music or this kind of underground feeling, Smoke Dizza, Homegrown. He is an older artist. He's been around a long time, but he's a frequent collaborator. He actually did have a project with Benny the Butcher, I think either last year or 2 years ago. But this is just like grown man hip hop. Like, Charlamagne calls it adult. Contemporary rap, like, it's just grown man business. It's just super chill. But again, like what I was talking about with West Side Gunn, he has the respect of the elite rappers. Like, he got songs with Jim Jones. He got a song with Cam'ron, Jadakiss, Wiz Khalifa, Currency, Big Crit. Like, he really has that respect in the industry to get those people on there. But he's just a consistent artist, short, concise project. If you're looking for that grown man hip hop, I would categorize this as 10 songs, 35 minutes. Not that long of a listen, but a good project. So that's Smoke Dizza with Homegrown. And then my last album, I want to highlight Larry June and Harry Fraud. They dropped a project called Keep Going. This is actually Larry June's fourth album this year. Talking about consistency, like, Larry June, he has a sound. He has a formula that he sticks to. Super chill, from California, like I talked about earlier this year. This project is only 10 songs, 26 minutes, and chill vibes. And I mentioned this earlier when I first found out about Larry June. He has the ability to talk about investments. He has the ability to talk about just giving game, hustling, pimping, drinking juice, and then just all in the same song, and it doesn't seem forced. So I really respect his type of music. He always going to tell you, like, he really talk like a pimp. Like, don't check me, check your credit score. Don't check me, check your back tooth. Like, don't check me, check the air quality. like little stuff like that is just like hilarious, but he going to give you a super chill vibe. It's kind of like a Dom Kennedy type of sound. So if you like that, you'll like Larry June and Harry Fraud's Keep Going project.
Like it a lot. All right, well, shit, let's get off of music. Let's hop right into it. So if y'all been listening this whole time, y'all know that we're ready to talk about some voting tips and things of that nature. Where I want to start on here is I want to tell you what's actually going to be on the ballot. So let's talk about that. Let's talk about what's actually going to be on the ballot, because some states it might differ. So some states might have a House, some states might have a Senate representative that you actually have to vote for. So it's something that you want to actually know what those positions are. Are they going to be important? Because depending on how you vote, depending on what you think about, depending on the things that you want, they might be even more important than what you actually voting for in the actual president. So it's something to actually think about. So I'm going to actually throw the alley-oop to King and let him tell us, like, what is actually on the ballot and why are these positions actually important to us?
Yeah, so everybody is talking about vote. That's all you hear. Vote, 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 vote. This is the most important election of our generation. Everybody's telling you to vote. But nobody is saying, what are you voting for? A lot of the conversation is framed around, we're just voting for the president and the vice president. But you'll hear a lot of stories of people that voted in the past. They'll tell you they go in expecting to vote for a president and vice president, and they see a bunch of other things on the ballot, too. And it's very important for us to realize that voting during the general election and even the midterm elections, they are much more important, or they're even more important than just voting for the president and the vice president. It's a lot of things on these ballots. Now, there are going to be different things to vote for in different states. So this is more of a broad view of what to expect when you go in to vote. And again, I'm not a political science major. I'm not a person that has a PhD in none of this. This is just broad level view. But I don't think that you have to have that in the weeds, know the law, or like every specific statute will be a constitutional expert to understand how to vote. I think every citizen should have a basic knowledge of it and that our right as a citizen to vote for people to represent us. So I'll start with saying that this isn't a say that you should vote this way or that way. You should vote for this candidate or that candidate. This is more for you to decide what you want to vote for and what lies up with your values. So I advise everybody to get a sample ballot of your state or your district. So if you're registered to vote, which I know you are, because if you go on Facebook, they tell you to register to vote. If you go on Instagram, if you go on Snapchat, TikTok, if you log into any social media platform or any platform whatsoever, YouTube, they're going to tell you to register to vote. I'm getting registrations for my gym, like, hey, register to vote. I'm getting all these people telling you to register to vote. So I hope that if you're listening to this right now, you're registered to vote. But if you are, you know that you'll be assigned to a certain district. So if you actually Google your district and Google a sample ballot, you'll be able to see exactly what you'll be voting for this November and actually do your research on these specific individuals to see who lines up with your ballots. So I highly suggest that you actually Google a sample ballot for your state and your district so that you can see all of the issues and all the people that are running for election, because getting into the actual voting booth and not knowing who you're voting for, you're setting yourself up for failure, because again, it is bigger than the president and the vice president. Now, this is a very important election because this is a census year as well. So I'll talk a little bit more about when we talk about House of Representatives, but basically the census happens every 10 years and they collect a population count. And based on how many people are counted in the census, that tells how many House of Representative members for each state is allocated. So when the census results happens and they get a representation of who is in the state, you can have a certain amount of House of Representative members. Now, once that census is conducted, they allow for what's called redistricting. So if a state has to lose or gain some different types of or different number of House of Representatives, that state can redistrict that state so that it's supposed to represent how many people are going to represent each district. So for example, if I have a state and it has 500,000 people, I'm just throwing out arbitrary numbers. You can say that that state is going to get five House of Representative members, right? If previously, if it only had four, then that state would have to be redistricted, a new map to show how many people are in that state or show how many representatives are going to be in there will be drawn. Now, there is a practice called gerrymandering to where a Democratic or a Republican person who is in charge of that can actually draw the map that actually puts their party at an advantage. So we want to be mindful to go out and get counted during the census. And we want to be mindful of who we elect to be in control of the Senate, to be in control of the House, because when they're redistricting, they can engage in this practice called gerrymandering to actually put a specific party in power when it doesn't actually represent the population that was counted for. Right. So there are certain states where, because of gerrymandering, 60% of the population is Democratic. But because the Republicans actually ran the House at the time, or they ran that state at the time, they actually drew the lines to actually box in all the Democrats so that they only represented one district, but then the other four, for example, are represented by Republican, and now that state is a Republican state. So we want to make sure that we vote in the right people that won't engage in those practices so that that doesn't happen. So I know that was kind of like nerdy, kind of technical, but that's just, we need to be mindful of these things because these are the games that are being played while we think that just a president and a vice president are important. These are the things that we want to be voting for as well. So I mentioned the House of Representatives. So the House of Representatives, those are going to be your people. If you ever heard of AOC, if you ever heard of like the Squad or Nancy Pelosi or the people that are introducing bills that'll give you a stimulus check, that's going to be the House of Representatives. Now, the House of Representatives, the number of people per state is based on, again, that census. So each state is going to have a different number of House of Representatives. So smaller states or states with a lower population will have a different number of House of Representative members. And then the bigger states like Texas, like California, like New York, they'll have more House of Representative members. Now, those members, they have elections every 2 years. So the House of Representatives have every 2 years elections because they're supposed to be held accountable to their constituents or the population that they serve. So that if a House of Representatives member is elected and they get into the office and they don't do what they said they were going to do, or they don't do a good job, they can be out of there as soon as 2 years. So they're supposed to really represent. That's why they're called the House of Representatives. They're supposed to represent the needs and the proposals and the wants of the community. Right. So the House of Representatives, be mindful of if you want to vote for a person of your political background, whether that be Democratic, whether that be Republican, whether you're an independent, look up the House of Representative members. They're going to be the ones that also introduce bills. And if you're familiar with how a bill becomes a law, House of Representatives are going to be the one that introduces a bill so that it can be debated on, it can be voted on, and that it can send it up to the next level, which is called the Senate, which I'll talk about a little bit later. But the House of Representatives, that is going to be the number of people. You may have multiple, you may only have one, but if you look on the election ballot, you'll see that they may be addressed as congresswomen or congressmen. The House of Representatives, those are going to be the ones that have to do with the bills. Those are going to be the ones that introduce bills that have to do with the spending of the government, talking about taxes. That's going to be their primary job. Now, if they get a bill, they debate it, they do their research on it, they vote on it, and it gets approved, it actually goes to the second tier of the Congress, which is called the Senate. Now, the Senate, they only have 100 members, so that's two senators per state. Now, that's regardless of the population. So a state may only have one House of Representatives member, but they're always going to have two senators. A state may have 16 or 15 House of Representative members, but they're only going to have two senators. So you may look at your ballot and see senators, but you may not, because unlike the House of Representatives, those elections are going to be held every 6 years. Now, those are going to be more of the aristocratic class of the Congress. And they're going to be the more authoritarian, but they're going to be the ones with the more power because, again, all the bills, they start with the House of Representatives, but they have to be approved and debated on by the Senate. Now, the House of Representatives, they kind of introduce things, but the Senate, they're going to actually approve things. So when we're talking about approving Supreme Court justices, when we're talking about a president approving or nominating members to his cabinet, that's all confirmed by the Senate. So just be mindful when you're voting for people to be represented in the Senate, those are going to be the ones who can shoot down, or those are going to be the ones that can confirm those federal appointments by the president. So once a bill is approved, it goes to the Senate. And if the Senate debates on it, they can actually approve it and then they can send it to the president so that it can be signed into law. Now, you can think of it like this, like when the president got impeached earlier this year, the House of Representatives, those are the ones that actually draw the articles of impeachment. But then once it got approved, it then had to go to the Senate. But then the Senate denied it or they shot it down so that the president didn't get impeached. Same thing happens with laws that are going to be drafted. The House of Representatives draft them in a bill. They send it up to the Senate if it gets approved, but then the Senate can actually deny it, change it, or whatever like that. That's the reason why we haven't gotten a second stimulus check, because the House of Representatives have to actually put together a plan. And then once it gets approved, it has to go to the Senate to get approved again so that the president can sign it in to law so that we can get an actual stimulus check. So it seems a little nerdy. It's kind of in the weeds, but again, we have to be mindful of all the different things going on the ballot so that we know what our government can do for us.
I like that. No, that's very informational. So yeah, so I'm going to kind of counterbalance what you got to say, because what I'm going to say is me and King's kind of political information is different levels, right? So King is really involved in this. He's really actually looking up. He's doing the research. He's doing everything like that. I just registered to vote this year. So a lot of other people might have been the same. They might have been. I know I'm 26, but I know people that's 40, 50 that's just like, hey, I'm about to register to vote this first time, right? So you're trying to make that decision right now. You made the first step, and then what do you go from here? My first thing is that, my first tip is that, hey, we're not voting for people. We're voting for the policies that they actually run for. So what are the policies? The policies, policies, policies. That's actually the most important thing. If you watch the most recent debate, the presidential debate, you'll see that they didn't really talk about a lot of policies. Now, the questions might have been, hey, what are you doing with the coronavirus? Hey, what are you doing with the Black community? Hey, what are you doing with this or what are you doing with that? A lot of questions were policy based, but where you see the conversation went, it wasn't actually about the policies and what they actually plan to do about that. That's an issue, right? That it's just flat out that's an issue. I don't know if that's by design, but by both parties, there was not a lot of policies talked. But their policies are out there, and I'll state two examples. My first example is that the Black community. Both candidates actually have a plan for the Black community, and it may be the first time I've actually can remember of actually two presidential candidates actually having a plan for the Black community. Now, whether they go through with that plan or not, we'll talk about a little bit later. We can talk about the history and things of that nature, and I got a couple other tips to actually think about that. But their plans are out there. The plans of actually what they want to do with the Black community are out there. So that's what people like Charlemagne, you see him. He's a very political, savvy dude. He wants to talk about politics all the time on The Breakfast Club. You can see him talking about, hey, we should be asking for the plan and what's the plan and what are you going to do for the Black community? Those are out there. You can go to Google and search that up. What is Joe Biden's plan for the Black community? What is Donald Trump's plan for the Black community? Don't be afraid to see both sides, because we need to be doing that. We need to be understanding what actually is going to be going on. We need to be understanding, hey, maybe the Republicans have a better side. Maybe the Democrats have a better side. I'm not here to sway you either way. I'm just telling you to go see that information. What are the policies on that? What are your policies on coronavirus? What are your policies on anything that you can think about? What is the free college thing? And we'll talk about that. What is free college? I see a lot of people that say, hey, like, I want free college. I want free Medicare. I want free this and that. Those are great ideas. But not only should we look at the policies, but how are they going to be implemented? There's nobody on this earth that can tell me, anybody that's taken a basic economic class, that if we have free healthcare or free college, it won't raise our taxes. So if you're okay with paying that, if you're okay with saying, hey, I'm going to pay more in taxes in order for somebody else to get healthcare, I'm okay with paying more taxes to send somebody else's kid to college. If you're okay with that, then that's great. Then vote for that. And that's my thing. I'm not saying I am or I'm not. I'm just saying that when you see these policies and you see these things they're writing in, when it comes to if it's going to be implemented and actually understood throughout the Congress, the House and the Senate, and it's going to be approved, it comes to how realistic it is. And the realistic thing about like college and healthcare and things of that nature is it's going to raise some. We're going to pay for it. It's going to be free, but we're going to pay for it. Like, no, it's not. The money is not going to just come from the government. The government just doesn't have an abundance of money that they can just pay for these things. That's not how it works. Taxes is what actually pays for these things, and that's one of the things that we're going to actually pay for. So if you're okay with that, then that's cool. But vote for things, vote for policies, not the person. If you don't like Donald Trump, you don't like Joe Biden, I understand that. But those are the things that you got to look at. What are their policies? What are we actually looking at? What are the Democratic policies? What are the Republican policies? What are the things they actually put into place to actually make sure that we succeed? How does it affect me if I vote for this person or that person? Those are the type of things you got to look at, but actually make sure you look at the facts. Don't just listen to, because there's a lot of things in the presidential debate that were lies on both sides. A lot of them, like a lot of the things they were saying about their policies are lies. So make sure that you go into the actual information that you can see and you can read and you can see their plans, and then go into and vote for that. Don't vote for just a person. And that's kind of my thing. Take the emotion out of it. Take the whether I like the person or whether I dislike the person, take that out of it and vote for those policies, because those are things that are actually going to affect you. Those things that the people that's actually you were actually nominating are actually going to put into place. So make sure that you actually vote for the policies and not just the person.
Hey, that's real. So I don't want to. Did you have other things that you want to talk about, like what inspired you to vote and what some key takeaways that you learned about this process? Because
yeah,
only other thing I had was just like breaking down, kind of like how you were saying, a sample ballot to kind of show you how to apply what you just said there.
Yeah. So I got, I don't know if you want to go first, but I do got one more thing. Actually two more things. My second thing is really voting just in general. Like, why do we vote? Why is it important? Things of that nature. If not for anything, I know, and I'm speaking to the Black community specifically, people fought and died for that. Like that, right? That is extremely important. You can never forget that. Don't ever forget that people was actually out in the front lines and actually dying, actually bleeding, actually sweating for the idea, just for the idea. They didn't know if it was going to work, but just for the idea of, hey, we deserve a vote too. And women included, right? Do not forget, it's not that long ago that women just became able to vote. Like, it's important that you think about those type of things when you go into voting. Why is it important? It's important just out of a basic respect type of thing. Like, only 60% of Americans is voting today. That's unacceptable. That's a right that you're foregoing. You're giving that right and that responsibility to somebody else around you in order to vote, because you're saying, well, it don't really matter. What electoral colleges? Well, this and that. Well, we should just do popular vote. Actually, look up that stuff. I've been looking up all week about the popular vote because somebody to me in my office told me that it's not important. We should just do the popular vote. I said, okay, well, let me look up the popular vote. It's not a good look. It's not a good look. I'm telling, like, listen to me. It's not a good look. I'm not going to tell you the reasons why, because I want you to research that yourself. But it's not a good look. Find out. The information is out there. Find out why that's something that we should not be looking towards. It's not a good look. Popular vote, okay? So if you're thinking about, hey, I'm just not going to vote because it's not important, I'm not going to vote because of this, all this stuff at a certain point needs to become null and void for you. Like it's completely absurd for you to just completely surpass everybody that came before you and everybody that actually fought to actually have this right for you, and to not take advantage of it. It's a reason why they're going so hard this year, and they've been going hard in every election year for the past, I don't know, decade, two decades. So make sure you go ahead and vote. Just become informed. Listen to the information that's given to you. The information is everywhere. Like you said, it's on all your social media platforms. It's on all your sporting things. It's everything that you look at right now, today's day. And that's not for just player. They're not telling you. All they're telling you is to go vote. They're not telling you who to vote for. It's just, hey, register to vote. Go vote. It's important. People fought for this. Your ancestors fought for this. If you really about this Black love, the Black pride, the everything that you can think of like that, then make sure you go ahead and go do it. Make sure you go do the ultimate thing that people were fighting for. Like, you have to be able to go do that. And that's why I'm saying, like, make sure you go vote. My last thing that I want to go through is the history, right? And why is that important, right? I just talked about why you should vote, the people that fought for you. And I know I've been talking about history already, but the history of the candidates and the parties that you're voting for. Why is that important? Because, again, you wouldn't loan money to your uncle that's never been able to pay back money before, right? You wouldn't, right? Nope. So you wouldn't date a girl that has a history of cheating or anything like that, would you?
Well, people change, Kevin.
Well, I'm just asking. I'm just asking you, right? You wouldn't vote. Right. Let me ask you this. You wouldn't vote for the Hornets to win 50 games knowing that they have historically can only win about 10, right?
Absolutely not.
Right. So you, the history is important in several different aspects of life. This is no different. So the Democratic Party or the Republican Party or the candidates you actually voting for, you need to be thinking about the history of what they've done. What laws did they vote in? How long have they been in office? How long have they been in politics? How long had what when they're into politics, what type of things are they actually making sure that gets accounted for? What things are they actually pushing for? What things do they agree with? What things do they not agree with? Those things are important because when you elect them, even though they're saying that this and that, and I'm not, and no, you made a good point. People change and things of that nature. But it's still a factor that needs to affect that you need to think about when you vote. So if I'm voting for this, I'm not going to give any examples on this one because it might really sway what you're thinking about. And I know it's kind of hard because Donald Trump has only really been a politician for about 4 to 5 years, if you really think about it. But he still has a history as well. So you can look at his history and say, what has he done? What has the economy done? What is the things of that nature? You can look at that. Joe Biden's been in politics for about 40 some years. So he's been in politics for a long time. So he has a long history. And I'm not just talking about the people, but I'm talking about the parties as well. What did the parties do when they had the House, when they had the Senate, when they had the president? What did they do when in the different situations that you can think about? What about this law or that law? What about abortions? What about free college? What about healthcare? What did they do with these things that you care about? And what do you care about? Because those are things that you want to look up and search and say, okay, this party actually leans more towards what I view as acceptable than the other party does. This party actually agrees with me on this certain topic. Well, I did. So maybe you should make a list. What do I care about as far as what can a politician do for me? Because they can do something. Whether you think, if you think that they have no impact on your life, you're wrong. Whether you be in the military, whether you be a civilian, whether you be whoever you want to be, whether you a drug dealer, whether you this and that, they have impact on what you do. So maybe I should create a list about, hey, this is the things that I want out of a politician. These are the things that I'm going to ask out of a politician. The plans are already out there. You can see them. Make sure those match up as well as possible. You're never going to get your whole list, but make sure they match up as much as possible to what you want to do. And then make that choice to vote. But you can't just vote because your mom told you, hey, I've been this my whole life. Maybe you should vote for that. Your dad told you, hey, well, if you vote for that, I'm going to disown you. Hey, the person next door said, I shouldn't even vote because it don't even matter because the electoral colleges. Like, all of that stuff is hearsay. The facts are there. What is important to you? What is important to you as a person? What type of values do you stand by? Like, those type of things is what you need to be looking at. And how do these candidates or these parties actually match up to what my list looks like? And then actually make a decision. But don't make a decision off of somebody else's list. Don't let somebody, don't not vote and leave that decision to somebody else in your neighborhood. Like, those things are important to you. Whether you know it or you don't, you have to vote. You have to. It's mandatory. Like, it's unacceptable that you don't. And I know I've been actually circulating it for me and King. We've been talking personally, and I was just saying, like, man, I don't know what I'm going to do this year. And either way, no matter what I say, King, every time I say that, King is telling me, like, yo, it's not acceptable. It's literally unacceptable for you to not vote. You have to, bro. You got to. And that's kind of where I've been standing by. So, King, shout out to you for that. But that's where I've been standing on right now.
Yeah. Nah, that's real. That's real. Mm-hmm. And I think that a lot of people, they look at government, they look at politicians, they look at politics, and they don't understand it. They don't understand what's going on. Like you said, politics, the government has so much influence in our life. We kind of take it for granted. Like, mm-hmm. to the fact of how much things cost at a store, to how our kids are being raised in public schools, to how much taxes we pay, all of that has to do with politics. So I'm going to go through when I talked about it before, again, I highly, highly, highly encourage everybody to get a sample ballot for your specific state and your specific district, because that is going to tell you exactly who and what you're voting for. So I'll just run down a quick example of what I'm going to be voting for here in Ohio. But again, each state, each district is going to have different things that they're going to be voting for, right? So in Ohio this year, they're voting for state representatives. So the state representative, like I told you before, they're going to be the ones that introduce laws. They're going to be the ones that introduce bills so that they can become laws. Oftentimes, especially in the State of the Union, you'll hear a president say, I want police reform. So Congress, draw up a bill so that I can sign it into law and then we can have police reform. That all starts in the House of Representatives. So if you think that you want police reform, if you think you want better health care, if you think that you want lower taxes, or if you think you want free college, look at your House of Representative members to see where they stand on these issues. Because again, once they get elected, or if they're already elected, they're going to be assigned to specific committees. In that committee, they'll be debating, they'll have hearings, and they'll figure out what bills need to be introduced for a vote so that these things can become laws. Me personally, it's just me biased, I would love to see the legalization of certain banned substances. You know what I mean? That's just me personally. That's just who I think. So I would really look at more of a person that would be in line with that. They would be more in line to draw up a bill and actually raise that issue so that my interests were met at the House of Representatives level. So as I'm looking on here, they tell you the names and they tell their political party. So I can go up there and I can research exactly where their stances are, because more likely than not, they're going to have a page dedicated to where they stand on law and order, where they stand on police reform, where they stand on social justice, where they stand on environmental issues. All of these things you can research yourself. And again, you don't want to wait until you're in the booth and you see these names to actually start doing your research. Request a sample ballot and you'll be able to see that. State senators. Again, like I said, with state senators, they're going to be the ones that approve bills once they come out of the House of Representatives. And they're going to be the ones that approve or deny the appointments of the actual president. So if they approve, or if they nominate somebody to their cabinet, the senators are going to be the ones that actually approve that. If they want to nominate a Supreme Court justice, which is actually going on right now, to replace Ruth Bader Ginsburg, those state senators are going to be the ones to approve or deny that appointment. So if I don't want her to be replaced, or if I don't like the person that is being considered for the Supreme Court justice, I would want to vote for a senator that would vote in line with that. If I do want to see her replaced, or I do want to see a new Supreme Court justice appointed by this specific president, I would vote in line with that. Again, these are the things you have to keep in mind, because that is what they're going to be doing. And again, they have a track record, like Kebo said, and they have their stances on all of these issues for public knowledge, so you can research that. There are also things such as county commissioners. So if you have a lot of potholes in your city, or if you see traffic lights that are constantly out, or if you see things in your city that just seem underfunded, or in your community, it just seems like the money isn't being directed in the proper ways, vote for your county commissioners. They're going to be the one to allocate funds. They're going to be the one to listen to the community to say, what do they need? What needs funding? So if you've got a lot of potholes, or you see a bunch of construction, that is going to be on your county commissioner to actually allocate those funds and actually approve those different things so that they can get the city taken care of, or your district taken care of. We talk about prosecuting attorneys. The big thing was Breonna Taylor, right? The prosecuting attorney, like I forgot his name. The district attorney for the Breonna Taylor case. He's an elected official. You know what I mean? He was, you know, a big figure in the Republican Party to the point where he spoke at the Republican National Convention. But if you live in that state and you don't like how he does things, you can actually vote for his replacement. Or if you did like how things were taken care of, you can actually vote for his reelection. Again, every state will have different people based on their position. They have different terms and term limits that they'll run on. But prosecuting attorneys, we all talk about, especially in the Black community, what does police reform look like? Do you believe that we should defund the police? Do you feel like we should arm the police with more tools and resources? All of these things you can vote for, and then look up who is your prosecuting attorney. What is their stance? What do they think that their job entails? What are they going to do? Is that in line with what you want to be done in your city, your district? And then you can vote for your prosecuting attorney. Sheriff department. We all talk about, again, police brutality. We talk about our interactions with the police. If you see that how your neighborhood or how your county or how your district is being policed in a certain way, vote for the sheriff. Vote for somebody whose stance on that police is going to be in line with yours. Again, be mindful of that. Look up their track record. Look at how they've conducted themselves in that office. Member of the Board of Education. I'm a product of public school. Kevo, you a product of public school? Right. So, in my public schools, a lot of my schools are even shut down now because they were so underfunded. We always had like max capacity classrooms. The books were always torn up. The teacher rarely had supplies. And we all know how teachers are underpaid. to the point where they have to go out of pocket to buy supplies because the schools are underfunded. If you believe that there should be different members of the state of Board of Education, go ahead and vote for that. Vote for somebody that has your priorities. If you feel like that the education that your children are getting in the actual public school system isn't enough and something needs to be done, more money needs to be allocated, you want somebody with a voice that's going to fight for more rights for your student in the public health, public education system, vote for your members of the state of Board of Education. Be mindful of that this is, again, according to your district. So if you feel like the schools in your district don't compete with the schools in another neighborhood, or the schools in this neighborhood are way worse than the schools of that neighborhood, look at the track record for the members of that district and see how they're doing things and try to vote in line and make sure you get people that have those same ideals so that your schools are funded and your schools do well as well. Again, there are a bunch of different things, and it's not just offices. Like right now in Ohio, we're voting on income taxes. So if we want to increase income taxes, if we want to decrease income taxes for the funding of municipal operations, equipment, maintenance, infrastructure, we have tax levies that are being either renewed or going to be introduced in the Ohio elections. Again, we're not just voting for the president and the vice president. We're voting on taxes here in Ohio. And again, every state and every district is going to be different. But again, thinking about, like Kevin was saying, not just looking at what the proposal is. Like, okay, we're going to lower taxes. But what is the effect going to be if you lower taxes? Does that mean that we're going to have less money to fix the infrastructure? Does that mean if we raise taxes that it's going to go to the right places? Really, this is the importance of getting your sample ballot so that you can research all of these issues and figure out exactly where you stand on these issues so that when the election day comes, if you're voting by mail, if you're actually going in person, you are armed and you're equipped with the information to vote in the right way. And again, like Kevin was saying, a lot of people don't vote because we feel like, oh, our vote doesn't count, our vote doesn't matter. But if we have if we're only 60% of people that are within that voting age, if we get that other 40%, yeah, your one single vote may not matter, but collectively, if we all come together to get behind a common cause, all of our voices can be heard. All of our votes can count and our voices can be heard, and that the proper change that we want to see can be implemented by the people that we elect. And that's the power that we have. And that's why we have to be armed with this knowledge. That's why we have to do our research and actually go out there and show up when it's time to vote.
I like that. Like that a lot, man. I appreciate you, bro.
No, yeah, we are here, man. You know, I'm just standing back, standing by. You know what I'm talking about?
Well, you know. Well, you know. Your methods are aggressive again, but I'm not going to. But no, man, if you listening right now, I know you're probably thinking, like, especially if you're a listener that's been listening for a while, you're probably thinking this is a lot different than what we usually do. I know we talk politics sometimes, and this and I know we don't do it often, but this is actually really important. It's really important. So I urge you, if you've been listening to us for a while, take this in and take this as a message that, hey, like, I need to take this stuff importantly. It seems like a joke right now. I understand that. I see all the memes. I see all the GIFs. I see all of it.
I love them, though.
I love them. It's extremely hilarious. It really is. It's funny. I seen one with Joe Biden actually rapping like Eminem on 8 Mile.
Oh, that's the best one, bro.
It was fucking hilarious, bro. It's fucking hilarious. It's a joke in that way, but it's actually really important, and it's something that really is going to affect you. You need to make sure that you're taking it seriously, because to them, it might be a joke, but again, it's not a joke, bro. It's not a joke. It's something to look at. It's something to look at, bro. We electing people. Another thing that I want to look, what do you think about this? Just out of curiosity. Mm. With the average age of working Americans and the average age of the Senate, the House, and the president being about 70 something, is that weird to you?
Well, no, because I think the House of Representatives, the minimum age you have to be is 25. I think for the president, it has to be like 35. Mm-hmm. And I think the average age in the House is like 57, 56, and then the average age in the Senate is more towards 60s, 70s. What I do think is there is a power in experience. I do want somebody that's been around for decades to lead the country. I don't want somebody that's super young, doesn't really have that perspective to come up with all these radical ideas when, oh, they tried that 30 years ago and that literally killed millions of people in another country. Oh, they tried that in another country and it literally led to a world war. So I really do feel like there is a benefit to an older elected official. Now, when the only two candidates are pushing 80 and we worried about their mental health and them being actually able to carry through a full term, that's a little aggressive. I think Obama proved that a younger, you know, more eloquent or somebody that able to speak well and actually do business is possible. And he did it for two terms. So I feel like we need to start giving power to those younger voices. But again, making sure those younger voices have our values and have our political strategies in mind.
Yeah, I think either way you look at it, man, we really got to look at what are we putting out there as our elected officials. Like we really got to, if we looked at the last presidential debate, we can do better. Like we can probably do better. I'm not saying that there's wrong or right, but I really do feel like we can probably do better. There's probably somebody else better right now in both sides, a Republican and the Democratic Party, that we can probably put out there. And that's my biggest thing.
But that's what I was saying before. Like, we need to change like what our focus is as a community. Like, all right, like, and love them or hate them, like Donald Trump proves you don't have to be a politician to be in politics. Like he literally just came off the bench like, yeah, going for president, and he made it. You know what I'm saying? Yep. So we need to think about, okay, what, and I think it all boils down to, how do we want to live life? And that's a very deep existential question, but what is your idea of a perfect world? What is your idea? How do you want to live? And how does that compare to now? And how does that need to change? Do you feel like we pay too much in taxes? Okay, how can you go about getting that change? Okay, what's the political strategy in that? Okay, who is the person that I can get behind? Because a lot of these people that you see are being running for office, check their resume. They raise money and all of their donors are listed out. So you'll see that this person was given $25,000 from the National Rifle Association. You'll see that this person is being funded by the pharmaceutical companies. So, you know, once they get in office, they have the obligation to argue or propose or do their job on the people's behalf that got them elected. So put your money where your mouth is. Go to these elected officials, go to these House of Representatives members, go to your senators, go to your mayors, go to your judges. And once they're running for election, donate to their campaign. Get a meeting with them. Hey, this is what we want in this community. I can guarantee that I can mobilize this many people to vote for you, but this is what we want in return if you get into office. That's how politics works. All this going out there marching, that's cool for awareness. But the next step is, instead of donating money just for a cause for equality, let's donate money for a specific candidate so we can get them elected. And once they get elected, we want these things to change, or we want this to happen, or we want to make sure that this is real change. That's how we get into politics, bro. It sounds boring. It sounds like super repetitive, but that's how real change happens. All this other stuff is just cool for social media. If we really want to talk about it, yo, let's save up for a year and save up for 2 years. And once the next election comes, boom, we donate to this campaign because they're going to do this movement. That's how we make moves.
Like that. Like that. Well, shit. Let's get into these positive showers, then, man. You go. I know I've been going first a lot. You go. You got ahead. You got it.
All right. So just to break up the political type of talk, my positivity shout out goes to a rapper by the name of Royce da 5'9". So often in the hip hop community, we love beef, we love drama, we love action, and we hype it up to the point where it's just like, you see the baby out here smacking somebody or beating them up. He's like, oh my God, it's like front page news. We see, you know, Drake going back and forth with Pusha T and they battling. It's like, oh, but then when we see the consequences of that, when we see people like Biggie and Tupac get killed, now it's a tragedy. We love the street music, but when we see people like Pop Smoke and Nipsey die, then it's a tragedy. And it's a harsh reality because one thing is sensationalized and the other thing is underappreciated. So Eminem and Lord Jamar, he's actually an older hip hop artist. He was in a group called the Brand Nubians. They had been beefing for years because Lord Jamar was on DJ Vlad, his interview platform, and just saying like white people are guests in hip hop. And all these white rappers, they're being thrown to the top or whatever like that. But this is black culture and every white artist in the game is a guest in there. And a lot of people thought he was throwing shots at Eminem, and they've just been subtly throwing shots back and forth for years, to the point where Eminem has been addressing them on albums and Lord Jamar has been addressing them in subsequent interviews, to the point where it's just creating more division. And again, we love that beef. We love that. But Royce da 5'9" actually stepped up and stood in between them and was like, yo, y'all need to squash that. To the point where Lord Jamar said on his podcast, like, yo, tell Eminem, like, we good. And then Royce da 5'9" was like, yo, M said, we good. He told me to tell you what's up. Like, it's all love from his side. And they actually publicly squashed it. So I just salute that type of behavior. I know Fat Joe does this a lot, but it's in the moment, it seems cool when beef happens. In the moment, it seems cool when drama happens. But we see the outcome of it. And then we see people like Meg Thee Stallion get shot. You know what I mean? So we can't keep hyping up these situations that lead to people dying and people getting shot, and then not hype up the people that actually step in before it gets to a point. Like, he also did this when Tory Lanez was going at people and Royce da 5'9" stepped up and said, yo, you're getting disrespectful. You need to calm that down. So he has a track record of doing this. And I just want to salute him for stepping up to a situation and showing that we can be the bigger person and not letting petty things get in the way of what we're really trying to do as a community. So shout out to Royce da 5'9" for stepping in between that beef right there.
Yeah, that's real. That's real. So I want to be pretty short of mine, but it's I want to start with, the positive shout out started as just kind of an idea, right? So it's an idea that I kind of threw out there. I've thrown a lot of ideas throughout this podcast. As soon as I had my own platform, that's kind of what I did. I just wanted to throw it out there, see what worked. And positive shout out is one of the things that stuck. And I really like it. I really like where it's been. I really like where it's been going in these last like 50 episodes that we've been doing. But this one is going to be a little bit, it might be seem kind of cheap or kind of breaking the rules, but my positive shout is actually going to King. Like, this, I've decided, like, this is who it's going to. And the reason why is because we always talk about growth and we always talk about progression and things of that nature. I met King in 2012 or 2013. Long time ago, man. Long time ago at this point. And the man you see today is not the man that you would have seen if you met him back in 2013. It was a completely different person, right? It's a completely different philosophy. His ability to actually change his mindset, his philosophy and how he thinks is incredible. Like, we make fun of it all the time in our group chat because we just think about, like, can you imagine back in 2013 King saying something like this? Can you imagine back in 2013 him thinking this way? And it's really impressive. And he pushes me to actually, at this point, think differently, to actually see the other side of something, to actually understand when somebody's debating, what are they trying to understand? What are they trying to get across? And that's actually big for me because I notice now when I go back and I go talk to people in other aspects of life, and I just talk to them about voting, or I talk to them about politics, or I talk to them about sports, or I talk to them about music or anything like that. Like, those type of things has been growing on me through years of brotherhood between me and him. He's been pushing me to go forward, like, years and years. That's been going on. It really hit me hard like this week. And I was just thinking, like, man, if anybody deserves a positivity shout out, like, it's King, bro. Like, his growth, it's like and I'm gonna add some humor to this. It's like Pokemon, bro. You ever see like a Pokemon evolve? you ever seen a Pokemon evolve, bro? It's real shit. You see somebody evolve and you just like, damn, bro. Like, you really came from this point, the point that I seen you at. I met you at a really rough time in your life. And for you to see you now, to grow up and be the man that you are today, like, it's just crazy to me, right? And, like, all jokes aside, bro, this the politics stuff, bro, if you want somebody in your crew, it's somebody that knows politics. And King is that guy for us. King is that guy for us in our group that knows politics, that understands the importance of it, that understands the other side of it. And it's somebody that you need in your crew. Believe me, we always talk about you with somebody and you grow with them. You need somebody like that in your crew that understands the importance of that, because it's something that's going to be important from now until 50 years later. It's something that really is going to grow with us. It's something that really is going to matter to us and our children. So you need somebody in your crew that understands politics. King is that person for us, and that's why he has my positive shout out.
I'm about to drop a little tear over here, dog.
Chill.
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 I'll tell you, just to end it on a happy note, because that shit got me sad, because I got me my feelings. when I first met Kevo, bro, I was straight. I was fresh out the hood, right? To the point where if you wasn't in my circle, like I wasn't rocking with you. Like I didn't want to meet new people. I had my squad, and I'm still kind of like that to this day. Like I got my circle and I'm cool with it. Like I don't need nobody else. To the point where I had just bought a bottle of liquor and I had bought it for me and the homie. And then he brought Kevo around. I was like, hey, bro, I bought this for, I'm not giving none of this to him, bro.
Damn that. It was the Ciroc Amaretto, bro, when it first came out.
And he was right there. Like, I said it to him. Like, he was right there. I was like, bro, I don't know him.
and I'm from a different area, too. So I'm like, man, fuck him, bro.
I don't even know you either.
Yeah, like, what do you mean, bro? I'm trying to hit the bottle, bro. Oh,
it's crazy. The homie at the time. Oh, man. I don't even rock with homie that I was riding with at that time. Like I haven't talked to him for years, and now Kevo like my legit brother. So it's like it's crazy. Like the growth is real, bro. Like for real, the growth is real.
It's real.
I appreciate that.
It's real. Much love to you, bro. Much love
to
you,
my man.
Yeah, you talking about somebody that met like my entire family, whether my real brothers, my real sisters, my real mom, my aunties, my cousins, my side family with Guam and them. So.
Facts.
King as much as family as anybody else to me. So I just
ran from the law. We done got in trouble together. We done made wins together. We done got finesses together. We done got finesse together.
Man, mad shit happening, bro. In the last 8 years, bro, it's been mad shit happening, bro. But positive shout out to you, bro. For real.
Shout out, bro.
We need somebody. We need more people like you in just the black community in general. Just that's aware, you know what I'm saying? Like just aware. Cause I come in here and talk about it, but even today's topic, you brought this up. Like you said, like we should talk about this. I didn't know what we was talking about on Friday. I had no idea. Yeah. I was waiting for your text. So you text me with this, and it made me go and actually search up. I can't be on here sounding stupid. Let me make sure I sound right, and then it increased my intelligence on politics. So now going forward, I'm gonna go to my troops. I'm gonna go to my peoples and say, "Yo, maybe I should look at this. This is kind of crazy. Actually, I didn't even know this."
That.
So it spreads like wildfire, and I appreciate it, man.
Facts, bro. Appreciate you, man. Appreciate you. Yeah. So hopefully this didn't, y'all made it to this part of the episode. If y'all did, we appreciate y'all. Hopefully this was beneficial to you, because I think this is an important topic. Hear everybody talk about vote, vote, vote. Hopefully you learned a little bit more about what you're voting for, who you're voting for, where you stand politically, and hopefully this episode was good for you, because we appreciate y'all.
For sure. Well, shit, man. You got anything else?
Oh man, you gonna make me cry if I keep talking,
dog. Just know I still love you. All right, man. We appreciate y'all tuning in, man. It's the Who Am I Pod.
What's going on, y'all? This is CJ from the Who Am I Podcast. On behalf of Kevo and myself, we just want to say that we truly do appreciate each and every one of you for tuning into this week's episode. Feel free to follow us on all of our social media platforms at The Who Am I Podcast on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube, and at The Who Am I Pod on Twitter. Again, we appreciate your support, and we hope you enjoyed this episode.